This is your brother James, and this is the Not As I Will podcast. So I just finished watching the series on Waco, Texas, 1993. It was April 1993. For those of you who don't know what that is, there was a situation in Waco, Texas, where there was like a cult, a cult ran by a guy. But before I get started, what is a cult? A cult is a group organization, it probably functions like a church, probably looks like a church, probably does a lot of things your church does. The difference is the Christian cult, anyway, is one that sees Jesus as something other than he is, which is he is king, he is Lord, he is the end all be all. And when you start to see somebody else as Jesus, other than Jesus, the Bible warns us as, many will come in my name and prophesy saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. A lot of people are going to come and say, I am the Christ. And, it says, don't believe them. Jesus says that, but anyway, so essentially, it's a group of people who don't see Jesus the same way, the way you're supposed to see him. He's either, the Jehovah's Witness don't acknowledge Jesus's humanity. They know he was a God, but they don't acknowledge his humanity. The Mormons believe he was a man, but they don't acknowledge him as God. So that's where the cult label gets put on. Right. Mormons obviously don't believe that they're in a cult, and Jehovah's Witnesses obviously don't believe they're in a cult. And, Christians, I guess it's the best way for me to understand where the Jews are coming from, because they are, the way they see a Christian is they're part of a cult. The Christians are a cult, right? A Jewish cult. So it comes down to faith right now. There's a couple things about this particular cult that you have to just, there has to be some kind of red flag for you. And you have to know that, this is weird, right? First thing, right? He thinks he's Jesus, all right? This guy is the cult leader. He thinks he's Jesus. He's, he's really knowledgeable about the Bible. He has like the whole Bible memorized. It's kind of funny that he has the whole Bible memorized, yet he doesn't practice every part of it. It's quite... So first off, he thinks he's Jesus. He's telling people he's Jesus, right? Basically, he's one of many messiahs, he says. And he gets a lot of people who are like Bible scholars to like follow him, which makes him credible, right? And it's kind of crazy that they don't like recognize some of the basic things in the Bible that he goes against, right? So one of the things he does is he like marries a 10-year-old. Now, in our culture, don't get me wrong, like there's other cultures that have, you get married to a younger woman. So that's not the weird part, right? Of course, in our culture, it's very weird. Like he shouldn't have done that, right? And so that's a red flag, right? But in other cultures, there have been, in a long time ago, people will give their 10, there was no laws against marrying some little girl, right? So, okay, let's move past that one. Next, he gets all these men to follow him and give their wives to him. I'll say it again. He gets all these men to follow him, and then they basically have to give up their wife to him. And then he is now their husband. And he can have sex with them, but they can't. So now we're starting to get, and now it's starting to get real weird, right? So like the 10-year-old, yeah, should never happen. We're in a culture that's like pedophilia, But let's go back, you know, let's have an open mind, whatever. Let's go back hundreds of years. People were getting married to 10-year-olds. It happened. Okay. But you take it a step further, and now he's getting his followers to give his wife their wives up to him. And he's basically saying, you can't have sex anymore. You have to be celibate, but I will handle the sexual, I will handle the sex for everybody. Just stupid, right? Just totally stupid. And then, so all these guys give up their wives, which is already stupid, but then they're not allowed to have sex and he is. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, that's not even the worst of it, okay? The next part I think is even more idiotic than that. He believes that Waco, Texas is where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. He's like, so he's like preaching out of Revelation, and he honestly believes that Waco, Texas is where the, it's just so stupid. Only an American can come up with something like this. Only an American. And this, you know, other, you know, the historical aspect of the TV show I watched, which was dramatized. It was not a documentary. It was dramatized. So the, it was entertaining, right? But they did humanize him a little too much, in my opinion. Like, they kind of made it, well, he really wasn't doing anything that wrong, right? Now, as a Christian, he was doing a lot of things wrong, right? But as a an American, outside of, you know, yeah, he shouldn't have been marrying a 10-year-old. He had some automatic weapons, I guess. He really didn't do that much wrong as an American, right? But as, you know, as the story wants to you to portray him to be portrayed this way, is not, is to see him kind of like, oh, he really didn't, he really wasn't that bad. Okay. However, if you really break it down, it's really, really dumb and it's really, really bad. And it, he needed, you know, this whole thing needed to end, right? And it did. And even though it was handled very poorly by the FBI, it ended. All these people died, unfortunately. You know, it sucks. But they also were following a crazy person who literally was sleeping with every woman in the building. You know, there was like 100 people in there. I don't know how many were women, but he was allowed to sleep with all of them. And none of the men were allowed to sleep with any of them. And they all were just like cool with it. So this is weird. And he also thinks that the revelation that John brought us in Revelation. Now you can listen. I'm not going to get into detail. I've studied it before. I don't know it well enough to sit here and start preaching in Revelation. So I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend like I understand everything about Revelation. However, he felt like the revelation was happening in Texas and not in the Promised Land in Israel, which is where it's going to happen. You know what I mean? So it's just really stupid at the end of the day. Okay. Just, you know, when you watch it, I pray before so you don't get deceived somehow, which that's what happens. The art of deception is that you get deceived, right? Like, that's the art of deception, is being deceived. And that's what these people were, is they were deceived. Okay. And he was deceived in his own mind as well, thinking that he's more than what he is. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. You want to have an open mind, but you also want to be very aware of, like, what's going on. The other thing I wanted to bring up kind of leads me into my next topic about idols. Okay, so idols and their forms, because this guy ultimately was an idol for these people, right? They all just saw him as this messiah, essentially, which is insane. But, I mean, Jesus is the only idol that gives freedom for your life. Like, he opens up the door. Like, you're allowed to do anything you want, you know? Like, you really are. But he also does tell us that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Paul says that, right? So it's, you shouldn't feel like you're constrained following Christ. You should feel free. And then, you know, you might say, well, I just want to go party. And it's like, well, is that really freedom? Or are you bound to that lifestyle and you're actually a slave to it? You know, or I want to make a lot of money, right? I want to be wealthy. And Jesus doesn't allow me to do that. It's like, well, is that really true? You know, and also Jesus does not compare himself to the devil. He does compare himself to money, essentially saying that money is the God. He refers to it as mammon, is the one God that will rival him. And, you know, you can be a slave to money. So what Jesus is trying to tell you is, come to me and you can be set free from all this bondage, right? And it's quite an intriguing, you know, offer, right? It's intriguing. It's I've been sitting here my whole life. I've been depressed. I've been grasping at the wind. You know, I've been trying to do everything. I've been trying to find pleasure here, and it's just nothing satisfies. And Jesus is like, no. You're bound to these things. Let me set you free. So, and only he can do that. Nobody else. And there's going to be nobody that is coming in place of him to reveal themselves to you as like, I am Jesus, right? That's pretty clear. Jesus, you know, when Jesus comes again in any form, the Christian's going to be gone. They're going to be raptured out of here. So there's not going to be this like, oh, this is Jesus, you know, this is Jesus. Don't listen to that. It's not there, right? That's not real. Idols come in many forms. You know, mine for a long time, you know, you could probably argue it still is football, right? I love football. Well, I like it a lot. I kind of find it to be kind of stupid as well. But I enjoy watching football. I enjoy playing football. I enjoy a lot of things about football, right? And for a long time, my life was consumed by it. I stopped coaching, which was a first step to, like, you know, getting away from it. Now I like watching it. I like playing. I play in a league. I enjoy it. But it's something that I have just as like a, like I have, I enjoy it on the side, and I'm allowed, you know, I'm not over, it's not taking over my life anymore. The Lord graciously lets me still have it in my life because I do believe it's not something that's an idol for me anymore. Like, I can walk away from it and I'm okay, you know? And that's what I pray for, you know, people listening, but also people that are out there in situations where they just are consumed by something so much that it just, it's grasping, you know, it's holding them and putting them in slavery.
Just to kind of go into the rapture, you know, a lot of people not sure what that is, maybe. I've studied Revelation quite a bit. It is difficult, especially if you read it at first glance. It's very difficult. So most of what I'm getting is from my former pastor, Con Tweeten, as well as a guy I go to a Bible study with. His name's Eric Jackson. Also, you know, I was reading up on some things online, kind of cliff notes I was reading. Also, so I'll make sure I let you know that most of this is from things I've heard from those two people or from something I read online. Along with that, you know, and along with some study that I've done, right? However, essentially Christians believe in three different views of the rapture. So the rapture, the word in the Bible is called harpazo. It's a Greek word. It means to be caught up. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse like 13-ish, nah, it's like 17 maybe. He says, and then those who are, you know, still alive will be caught up in the air with those who had fallen asleep, which in reference to the people who died physically on earth before the rapture, okay? We'll be caught up with them in the air. Now, the three views are there, you know, so there's a tribulation period in the Bible. In the Revelation, it's a 7-year period. you know, and, you know, we can sit here and debate what a year is to God, whatever. But let's not worry but too much about like the exact time frame of 7 years right now. But essentially there is a group of thinking that the Christian is raptured or taken out of the world before the 7 years begins. Okay. There's a group of thinking that the rapture happens after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. So at 3.5 years, the Antichrist is revealed. There's a 3.5 year period of peace during the tribulation, the end times they call it, or whatever you want to call it. And then at the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist is revealed, the one who's claiming to be Jesus, who's the devil, right? Devil's son, whatever, however you want to look at it. Okay. He reveals himself after 3.5 years. So a lot of Christians, some Christians believe, and I'm in this viewpoint and I'll explain, it's the mid-tribulation, rapture, where we get raptured right before the guy, the Antichrist is revealed. Okay. Then there's the Christians who believe it's post-tribulation rapture, which is after all this crap. So after the 3.5 years of peace, it's 3.5 years of freaking straight hell. And then we get raptured after all of it. Right. And I have really compelling arguments for all three. Okay. I really do. My view is the mid-trib, and I'll explain in a sec, but most Christians believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Most of the evidence in the Bible points to the pre-tribulation rapture. And most of churches in the United States, especially, and most modern day churches believe that we will be raptured before the tribulation period even begins. Okay. And this makes, you know, for the longest time, I was totally bought in. I really, there's not a lot to prove against it, to be completely honest with you. I mean, you could sit there and argue. There's argues, right? You could argue about it all day. But the one thing I do want to point out with the pre-trib, okay, and there's no hard evidence in the Bible that God doesn't make, you know, bring his people through pain, okay, and things that will make, you know, that are hard. There is zero evidence in the Bible that God is trying to help you avoid painful situations. Zero evidence. And that's where I push back on the pre-tribulation rapture, where I truly believe, like I've come to a belief that I don't think that we will be raptured pre-tribulation, because I believe that that's just not how God's, you know, when God is dealing with his people, that's just not what he does. And I don't have any evidence to support that he's trying to keep you from hard situations. Zero evidence. Okay. There's a lot of evidence that points to, you know, yeah, we'll probably be raptured before things happen, right? Certain things happen, right? And so that's where I am in the alignment of the mid-tribulation rapture, where I do believe before the hell breaks loose, we will be raptured. And that's my personal belief, right? And the one verse I do have to support me is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you go there, it's a, it's basically, you know, before I read this, the main thing is I want you to, just that, you know, have an open mind, right? About, you know, people that may believe one way or the other, and it's not, you know, whatever, it's not bad. Nobody actually knows. Nobody cares. Right. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Right. But the thing that I do want us to pay attention to is that Christ is coming again, right? He's coming again. He's coming to Israel, and there's going to be a war. It's going to be Armageddon in Israel at the end of the tribulation period, where it's, you know, Jesus against all the darkness. You know, he's going to lock them all up. Okay, so ultimately, that's what's going to happen. Now, when we get raptured out, is all, you know, just sit here and talk about it all day, whatever. None of that actually matters. What matters is that Jesus is coming again, and he's going to finish it, right? at least for 1,000 years. Okay. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll just start in verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as through the day of, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So there's going to be somebody who basically is claiming that he's Christ, right? And that's why, we're going to be raptured before this guy's revealed. And that's why I think we're a mid-tribulation rapture. So anyway, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. What is restraining? Listen. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So I want to go back to verse 6. It says, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. I'll keep reading and then I'll come back. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital H, he, who now restrains will do so until he, capital H, is taken out of the way. So it's a capital he, which is he's referring to the Holy Spirit because it's a capital. And he's saying that this person, he, the Holy Spirit, is restraining back this darkness. And when he's moved, it will reveal itself. You know, the Antichrist will reveal itself. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And that's, after the tribulation. So essentially, I gathered, if we get raptured at the pre-trib, then the Antichrist is revealed pretty quick after, right? And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because according to the pre-trib, according to the tribulation, there's 3.5 years of peace, okay? And then the Antichrist is revealed supposedly halfway through. So that's where I get pushed back on the pre-trib, one. And two, it's also very American to feel comfort and just be like, oh yeah, we're just going to avoid all this, all these problems. And it's like, yeah. I think the 3.5 years of peace may be peaceful because they're like locking up all the Christians and making sure we're not like a problem for them, the average person. Okay. So I do think there's going to be some tribulation for us. I do. And as much as I want to believe that we're going to be, because it would be nice. I would love to just say it's nice. Yeah. Let's just get raptured out before all the crap happens. Oh yeah. Yay. And then we're, but we didn't actually go through anything. That's nice, but I don't think it's reality. And that's just not, God just doesn't work like that. I don't see that, and I'm not saying God's like here to punish it. He's not. He just knows he's given us the tools to handle hardship and things that suck. That's just what he does. That's what God does. He gives you the tools to face hard situations. Okay. And, I don't want to go, you can go listen to my podcast on Job. You can go talk about that where basically God's pointing him out to the devil, right? And the devil now has a visual of somebody. Oh, I can go after this guy. So it takes the focus off of somebody who may not be able to handle the attempts of the enemy, right? Anyway, the third view is the post-tribulation rapture, where after all the hell breaks loose, right? Then we get raptured. And I also believe this is very American to believe this, because it's like, oh yeah, we're going to be at war and we're going to be fighting and we got guns and we're going to do it. And it's just kind of stupid. It's like, I get it though. There was one guy who made a compelling argument for the post-tribulation, and he said during Moses's time, when they were in Egypt and all the plagues were happening to the Egyptians, the Jews were in Egypt during that time, even though they weren't being necessarily attacked by the same exact plagues that the Egyptians were, they were still there in the midst of it. And that was probably the best argument I've heard for it, where it's like, okay, I can buy into that. I'm not going to, but I could, And that was probably the best argument for me. The pre-trib, again, I feel like is very American. It's just a very comfortable way to think. The mid-trib makes the most sense to me. But I'll present to you just another option. What if, based upon where you're at in your walk and understanding, you're raptured at, you know, we're all raptured at different times throughout this entire tribulation period? Just a thought. Not saying that's true. Just was thinking about that today. And I was like, well, maybe it's none of them. Maybe it's just we all get raptured at a time when it's time for us. Kind of like when you die. A little bit. Sort of. Kind of. Anyway, just my thoughts on the revelation. And it just brought a lot of thoughts for me.
And this was your brother James, and this is the podcast Not As I Will.